Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between D.C. and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
Man, I'm so honored to be here on Father's Day. It's actually, you know, it's not a small thing that I'm here because I am a daddy. And today was my day. Today was my day. I should have been at the house getting some pancakes in bed. But I'm glad to be here. I want to show you my little family. We've got now four babies. Yeah, check that out. We got Jacob, Lily, Annabelle, and Vivian, and little Zoe. Zoe's Annabelle's fault because we tricked the Chandlers into thinking that all babies were sweet and cute and never cried. Actually, we brought Annabelle with us. And that's what kind of got them kind of thinking, well, you know, maybe we should have a baby. What we didn't tell them was on the flight home from preaching in this church, my baby threw up. I didn't say spit up. Threw up all over me and my wife. And we still had one whole flight to go to get to the house. I never told him that. Then they had a baby. Hallelujah. I love being a dad. What an incredible honor to get to do that. Anybody in here have a father? Yeah? Oh, 100%, 100%. That's awesome. A couple of you didn't raise your hand. You do actually have one. That's science. So that's a thing. But not all of us really maybe have a daddy. And if you don't have one, or you maybe didn't have a great start with one, I don't need to tell you that there's a difference. My father and I really didn't have a relationship. My parents split up, and then he moved to the other side of the country, and I grew up trying to figure out how to be a man without one. And I don't know if you've ever been there, or if you're currently there, but today I want to talk to the men, because I want to help you. You know, Mother's Day, it's always funny with Mother's Day. Like Mother's Day, we preach these messages. We always let the mama of the house come up and preach. And of course, she ain't going to get on mama's back. Like she's going to say, mamas, you're great. God loves you. Like we just, oh, you're a warrior princess. And then Father's Day, we're like, hey, man, quit being an idiot. And I'll see you next Sunday. And I didn't want to beat you up, dads, because I get it. I'm trying to raise babies right now, and it's hard, but I don't think that you're going to be able to step into a great place as a man if you maybe didn't experience the fulfillment of what it means to be raised by a godly man, and so I want to help you in that, maybe get some healing in your heart today. The other thing that I would love to do is dad's kind of help you with a mandate a little bit of a biblical mandate for really what your job ought to be, because honestly, it's not getting your kid to be like the greatest track star, football player, baseball player in the world. I'm just here to tell you, team sports don't build character. If team sports built character, the people of highest moral fiber in our nation would be professional baseball players, basketball players, and football players. Parents of character raise children of character. So I'm going to try to give you a mandate, try to help you today. Girls, you might be thinking, though, man, I ain't even got a man. Why am I in this service? First off, the best place to find a man, okay, we got to get up in that small group. Get in a small group, girls. We're going to try to help you out. Apparently we have some beneficiaries of small group matchups in the church. So you got to get in a group and find a guy that's pursuing God. And so today, so ladies, you may go, man, I'm not a dad. How is this for me? You need to know what you're looking for. And so as you listen to this, I want you to listen to this through the lens of, God, I always prayed for Mr. Right, and I've kind of settled for Mr. Right now, and it's time to cut some things loose. Or it's time to make a step in this direction because the man that God's paired me with is hitting all of these things. That's the mark that we need to be searching for. And so you may be a kid today. Here's my prayer. If you haven't had kids yet, maybe you're a young man or a young lady. Listen, I need you to lean in and listen today because I need you to let your parents off the hook a little bit. It's hard. And I think as we kind of lean into that, I think this is for everybody. But guys, I want to talk to you today because I think church has gotten a little sissy. Like it's a little sissy. You can't say anything and everybody's just, and we know just enough like Christian ease to like get out of stuff. And guys, it's like, man, it just really hurt my heart, Pastor, when you said that. I'm like, be a grown man. Like put on your big boy pants. Like, let's be a man. And then all the songs we sing, it's always like, you ever heard that song about the sloppy wet kiss and stuff? Like, I ain't got no time for the sloppy wet kiss. Like, that's horrible. And then, we've made it all kind of girly. And see, back in the day, back before it was LED lights, it was ferns and flowers everywhere. Hey, you know how many nurseries went out of business when LED lights got invented? Just shut them down. Churches were like, we can't buy you ferns anymore. We're done. It's LED lights now, smoke. But it's kind of girly. And I need you to know, men, it is actually okay to be a man's man and follow Jesus. You know, here's the problem. We paint this picture in our minds of this like fictional blonde-haired, blue-eyed British Jesus. That every time he speaks in front of a crowd, he's like, oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's not how he did it. He's like, ow, ow, man, this hurts. Ah! But he was such a man. Go back and read your Bible. That this guy that apparently always walked slowly through crowds and his robes were always super clean. That this same guy, when a crowd of people was coming to stone him to death, they were going to hit him in the body with rocks until he died. You know what the Bible says? This whole crowd of people, group of people like y'all coming at me, and like this is what the Bible says happened. There, he's walking towards this cliff. He realized, oh, that's a cliff, and I ain't having any of this situation. The Bible said he just turned around. And he, the Bible didn't say this, but he probably kind of say something. Say it. Hit me with a pebble. Just one pebble. Let a pebble hit my leg. Let a pebble hit my leg. And then the Bible says they had rocks in their hands. They were going to stone him to death, and they just got out of his way. That's a man's man, y'all. He took a beating that would have killed you and me in the beating, and then still had to carry the top beam of that cross all the way to the place where he would be murdered, hung up on a tree, and suffocate to death after having nails driven through his wrist and his feet. And he took it like a man. And the entire time, he was asking the Father for forgiveness. He was ministering to his mama. He was ministering to the people on his left and his right. You and me and our greatest pain, what do we do? Ah, my toe, my foot, my wrist. Guys, can I be real with you? Y'all beat me like that? You hang me up on a tree like that? God, kill them all. Smite them, holy smiter. And that thief look over, and he like, you are the Son of Man. He like, don't talk to me right now. Why you didn't come to my church last week when I was preaching? Now you got yourself in this mess. Oh, now I'm the Son of God now? You gone too. But instead he leaned in. You know why? Because of this, in Exodus chapter 15, it says this: the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. So Jesus, God our Father, is a warrior. Jesus, his Son, is a warrior. But the Bible says, men, you were created in the image of God. That means you were made to fight. You were made to be a warrior, not some mamby-pamby, weak, khaki-wearing, polo shirt tucked up into your pants. Got to be nice to everybody when all you want to do is punch somebody in the face. You're a warrior. You were supposed to fight for your wife and fight for your kids and fight for your purity. You're a warrior because you were made in the image of a warrior. But we do. We come to church and go, oh, Pastor, oh, man, well, it's a great day today. Too blessed to be surprised. You're just dying inside. You're a warrior. You were made to fight. But the Bible says this in Ezekiel. He said, I looked for a man. Some of the single ladies in here say, I know where he at. Been looking too. I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and would stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land. Who's going to stand in the gap on behalf of the land? So I would not have to destroy it. But look what he said. But I didn't find anybody. I think God's in pursuit of men's man, like a man's man. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. Every man has a cause to fight for. Every man. You were made to fight for something. And we have become so apathetic, and I believe it is the devil's plan for the man to raise up apathetic men who aren't concerned with the thing that they're supposed to be fighting for. Look at the fall in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that the serpent has this one-on-one conversation with Eve. She takes a bite of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then the Bible says she turned to Adam. He was standing there the whole time. She didn't have to go get Adam. They didn't text him and say, hey, I need you to come over for a little bit. I need to talk to you about some fruit I just had. He was standing there being apathetic. And I believe that the fall of man is as much a fruit of, yeah, she made a choice, but it's got a lot to do with an apathetic man that was standing there, let it all go down right in front of him. You know that there's a 97% increase in the probability that a family will go to church and stay in church if the man is the one driving the conversation? Hey, husbands, listen to me. She's tired of begging you to get up and get your clothes on and come to church. She's tired of it. It's killing her. Because what she's prayed for and actually what God fashioned her to desire was a man that would be pursuing God with everything that he has. So, know this though, a man without a cause to fight for will find the wrong things to fight against. Look at this verse in Acts chapter 8. It says, but Saul began to destroy the church. Saul would become Paul. He was going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and he put them in prison. He didn't have somebody to set him on his path. And a warrior without a cause to fight for is going to find the wrong things to fight against. And you're going to spend your entire life thinking that your cause is like maybe how much money and stuff you can get. You'll think that you'll think that your cause as a young warrior is like see how many women you can conquer. You'll think that as a warrior, like it's like how many football games you can win, how many touchdowns you can score. Guys, when we get out into the corporate world, it's how many promotions can we get. It's how many people recognize how awesome we are. And we'll stay in this place of performance. And I think because only the Father can set the Son on his cause, that the man who is starved for his Father's approval is sentenced to a prison of performance. Like your whole life, you're going to have to perform because nobody sets you on the cause that you were actually created for. Now, some of you didn't grow up in a home where your daddy really kind of put hands on you and told you, ladies, listen, like you should have heard, like you are beautiful and you are worthy of pursuit in a godly way. Men, you should have heard, like, hey, you're loved and your performance is not what makes me love you, and I love you anyway. And you should have heard those things, and you should have had somebody that you were looking at that made Jesus his pursuit and priority. His wife was the wife of his youth, and he pursued her and her only. And then you guys were able to follow in that example. That's the model of marriage and family that you were supposed to see, but maybe you didn't see it. I know I didn't. And then you get out into the world, and quite honestly, what I realized was I was spending my entire life hoping somebody would recognize that I was actually worth believing in. And I was angry. So for the sons and maybe daughters in the room today, let me give you a couple thoughts. Number one, you must forgive your father through Christ. Listen, it's hard, guys. I'm raising kids. There was one day, I don't know where you are on spanking, like spanking kids or what. I'm pro spanking, okay? I'm going to let you know. When you got zero kids or one kid, you're like, I just don't believe that spanking's right. You get four kids, you'll beat everything. I'll wake them up with a spanking now. That's for the stuff you're going to do. Just happen to have my belt with me. But I remember once I had overcorrected. I'd overcorrected. I just found out that they were going to raise the rent on us at the church, and then we had a couple leaders bail on me, and it was all happening in the morning. We were getting our kids ready. My two kids were going off to this little Christian school. And my son at the time was about 4 years old, maybe almost five, and he's kind of smarted off to his mama a little bit, and I chased him out into the driveway, and I whipped his little butt. And I realized, if I can be 100% honest with you, once they got in the car, I felt horrible because I realized, man, I messed up. That kid didn't, he might have made a mistake, but he didn't deserve any of that. I went back in my office. I was a mess, and I went back and prayed and just felt funky. And I lasted about as long as I could, and I finally just got in the car. And I drove to his school, knocked on the door, told the principal, hey, I got to take my son out today. She said, is everything okay? I said, no. Knocked on the door of the classroom, ma'am, I need to take Jacob with me. Kind of had this look on his face like, oh, I'm about to get it again. I took him across, there was a little McDonald's across the street from the school. We went over there and I sat down at the table and I sat down with him. And not understanding if this little four-year-old would understand what I was saying to him, I said, son, I'm sorry. Daddy blew it. I messed up. And it's not okay. And will you forgive me? I'll never forget this four-year-old. He reached his hand across the table and he put his hand on top of my hand and he said, it's okay, Daddy. I forgive you. And he said, I'd be crazy too. I'm like, well, now you're preaching. Now you're meddling in my stuff. And he said, I'd be crazy too. I said, and it was in that moment, hey, guys, you got to get to a place where you forgive your father. Forgive whatever grievances, in Colossians, you have against one another. Forgive, look, just as the Lord has forgiven you. You know the reason we don't forgive is because you actually have a horrible, understanding and interpretation of what forgiveness actually is. Forgiveness doesn't mean necessarily reconciliation, and forgiveness doesn't mean it's an emotion. That's why Jesus was hanging on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was making a decision when his circumstances didn't predicate him forgiving. He was making a decision that it was the right thing to do. He said, Father, forgive them. I'm making a choice to see people with different eyes. Forgiveness is not a one-time thing. There are people in my life that I have to forgive by the hour. Like, I have to do it over and over. And just because you don't feel all warm and fuzzy about the decision doesn't mean it didn't happen. And forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness doesn't mean that somehow you develop some type of heavenly amnesia and you can't remember what they did to you. In fact, never even trust somebody that says you just got to forgive and forget. It's actually theologically implausible for you to forgive and forget, because the Bible says you're to forgive just as you were forgiven, but God can't forget your sins. The Bible says they're as far as the east is from the west, but God can't forget something that you know, because that would mean you know something that he doesn't know. Theologically, forgiving and forgetting isn't even plausible. So every time somebody tells you something, just smack them with your Bible and it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Just say, I can't. Hey, second thing for the kids, listen, you must accept your father through Christ. Like, yeah, I get it. But you know what? He grew up in something too. He grew up in something. And I promise you that there were battles and scars that you never saw that are implanted in his heart, and it's time to let him off the hook a little bit. So accept each other, the Bible says, just as, look, Christ has accepted you. Hey, he took you when you were a hot mess. It's amazing how short our memory gets when it comes to our own sin and how good we are at keeping score on everybody else's. And then for the kids in the room, and we all are, you must help one another get free. Like, you got to help each other get free. Galatians, I love it. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. You got to help carry one another's burdens. You got to help other people get free. That's why being a part of a church is so important, because you don't know what scars and battles people have been through. But there are people in this room, quite honestly, that weren't raised by a man at all. He wasn't in the home. You don't even know what it would be like. And men, if you were raised in a godly home, I can't think of a better precedent for you to be a small group leader, for you to get involved in the youth ministry, for you to roll your sleeves up and help, because we've got men that are being raised by themselves, and they need you men to step in and help carry that burden, help be something for somebody, and help fill that gap. And Ezekiel said, I looked for a man that would help fill the gap, and I didn't find one. We got to fill the gap. Hey, yeah, you got a godly marriage because you saw a godly mom and dad. Lead a marriage small group. Like, help. Help. There are people that are literally making it up as they go. Pastor Stephen and I were talking last night. I'm like, man, if the world ever understood how much we were trying to figure this thing out when we first got started in our marriages, they would never come to our churches. Never. You wouldn't believe how many things our wives got wrong. I got to look around, because Mrs. I heard that somewhere. She coming from some direction. You got to watch. You can help fill the gap. And I think you have a responsibility. But a mandate for the dads. Listen, dads, your job isn't to make your kid the best football player that ever lived. Your job isn't to get your kid into a college. It's not to make him a track star. It's not to make him valedictorian. All of those things are the fruit of him working out of the love and the affirmation that you've put into him. Don't force your son to work his entire life to hear that you are proud of him. Let him work out of the pride that you already feel for him. But man, I just not good with my emotions, Pastor. I'm like, that's stupid. God gave you a human to raise. Get okay with your emotions. I watched you at the football game. Seemed like you found your emotions up in there. So number one, if you take notes, listen. Ladies, you need to know this. A man empowers his son. A man's willing to look at his son and empower him. To put power into him. Listen, where he's not having to spend his entire life trying to get an A so that he will hear his dad say, hey, I'm proud of you. Why? Listen, when I drop my son off at school in the morning, I say the same thing every day. Be smart. If you can't be smart, have fun. If you can't have fun, be entertaining. No, I tell him, I say, listen, you don't have to be the smartest. That's not what makes me proud of you. You don't have to be the fastest. That's not what makes me proud of you. Be the hardest working man in the room. My little girl, she's 5, she's almost 6 years old. She came to me. She just got promoted 2 levels in gymnastics. She's like a little jumping bean. She can do all the little flips and like her put the, her head like on the back of her knee and stuff. Like, I mean, it's just crazy to watch her bend around and flip and fold and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, babe, she came home. She said, Daddy, I just got promoted 2 levels in gymnastics. And I said, oh, baby, I'm so proud of you. Man, that's amazing. And she said, well, it was easy. And I said, how? And she goes, I was the hardest working man in the room. I was like, get him. But practically, let me tell you how to do it. You need to add these sentences to your vocabulary. 1, I believe in you. Oh, my God, what somebody could do. You know, I believe my job as a pastor, honestly, is just to be a yes for as many people as I can in this life. But it starts because there's a lot of daddies that aren't already being yeses at home. Like, you shouldn't ever need a pastor to tell you, I believe in you. You were made on purpose and for a purpose. You're like, I know that. My dad already said that. What are you talking about? I believe in you. 2, I am proud of you. Like, I am proud of you. You bring pride to my heart because you are in my house. Not because of what you do, but because of who you are. I am proud of you. And then say this. Hey, go home today, and they're going to make you some waffles or maybe something with bacon in it, somebody. And then when you go, listen, dads, look at your kids and your daughter and your sons. And I want you to say, no matter what, I will always love you. It is not conditioned. Do you know why so many people cannot get their head around this good, good father that doesn't need you to perform? That we can't help our churches understand that I don't care how much you give or serve or how nice you are or all the nice things you do for the church. Like, none of those things are ever going to get your heavenly father to look down and go, man, I finally love them today. Because his love for you is based on no condition. People can't get their mind around that because I think so many young men and young women are being raised by fathers who place love and condition next to each other. Look at your kids today and say, there is nothing you can do. You can't do something to make me love you. I chose it the day you were given to me. That means there's nothing you can do to make me stop. So go be who God made you to be and quit trying to pick majors in college so that your dad will be proud of you. I'm proud of who you are, not what job you have, not what degree you got. I'm proud of you. Hey, quit picking jobs so that you'll come home and dad will go, oh, you made it to medical school. Oh, I'm fine. I finally love you. Like, why don't you take that off your kids and let them step into their God-filled purpose? I think churches are empty from staffs and people living on purpose because they just need daddies to set people on the path. Jesus needed it. And the moment that he was baptized, the Bible says that the heavens opened up. There's this dove descends from heaven, right? And says, this is my son. And you, I am well pleased. I'm proud of you already. You haven't even saved the world. A man empowers his son. 2, a man leads himself. A man leads himself. Kids are not going to become what you say. They're going to become what you do. Like, they're just going to become what you do. So if you never read your Bibles, if you don't serve, if you don't do all those things personally, your kids aren't going to do it. If you live paycheck to paycheck, you are creating the recipe for your children to do the same. If you are living a job with no purpose, and every day when you come home and your wife says, man, how was work? And you're just like, I made it through another one. You're creating the precedent for your kids to follow suit. Man, you got to lead yourself. You got to understand that your purpose, your passion is the priority. Because if you don't get that, nothing else in your family is going to work right. And that's why the local church is such a beautiful gift from God. And I need you to lean into the local church. A man leads himself. And then number three, a man leads his family. It's funny. There's like this weird mentality that's happened in the local church where it's like, well, you know, like I just don't want to force it on my kids. I was made to go to church, and I just don't want to force it on my kids. No, force it. Because guess what? The world has an agenda that it's forcing on your kids. You better be willing to speak louder. You better be willing to impress it on them harder. You better be willing to get up in the morning and show them what chasing after Jesus looks like. Because if you don't, the world has a plan for them. And it's living paycheck to paycheck. It's getting divorced two or three times in their life. It's living a job that they don't like. It's being in a marriage that has no love in it. It's raising kids that they don't understand. The world has a plan. And so don't tell me, man, I just can't put it on my kid. I just don't want to impress it. My mama made me go to church. Well, man, praise God for your mama that she made you go to church. But you would never have felt like it was being impressed on you if your daddy was the one leading the charge. Mama made you go. Daddy led the way. What would it have looked like when in high school when all the kids asked you, man, why are you always going to church? Because that's where my hero goes. The man's richest compliment or most painful insult. You know what it is? You are just like your father. When I was a kid, that was used as an insult. Now my father is redeemed. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. I baptized him myself. He's living on purpose. And he's stepping into the fullness of what God has for him. And now when people say, hey man, you know, you're just like your father. My chest pokes out a little bit. And I think, praise God. Impress these things on your kids. You know, I was telling Pastor Stephen, there's a young man that's come into our life that he's a grown man now. He's 18 years old. His mom and father left him one day when he was 10 years old, said they were going to the grocery store and never came home again. For a week, he was at home by himself thinking nobody was ever going to come back. And he would go for the next several years, you know, getting passed around, not really sure where he was supposed to go, not really confident that anybody cared what was going to happen in his life. He ended up, by no small miracle, giving his life to Jesus and ended up at this school where we happen to be a part of in Birmingham. And we met him and instantly he started getting grafted into our family. Came over for dinner all the time. And first I thought, well, he's just a poor college kid. He's 18 years old. He doesn't have any food, and that's why he's coming around. I realized he wasn't coming around for that. He was coming around because it felt so good to hear somebody say, I'm proud of you. No matter what, I'll always love you. Well, a couple weeks ago, began a conversation, and my wife and I have now made the decision that we're going to legally adopt this young man. And I don't know if there's a greater way to heal the heart of somebody and to help them understand the love of God than to look at somebody and say, listen, God adopted you into his family, but you don't quite understand that because you've never actually been adopted into an earthly family. And I want to take that off of you, and from now on, I want you to know that I'm proud of you and I love you. Years ago, I hadn't finished school. I didn't have a job. I didn't have any money. In fact, anybody ever got called by a debt collector? Mm-hmm. I was getting them calls. My dad and I hadn't seen each other in a long, long time, but at this point, I was a grown man. In fact, it had been so long since we saw each other that when I walked up to him there in the restaurant where he was, he didn't know who I was. And I had to introduce myself. We sat down and had a great conversation. And the next day, we went out to dinner. And the next night, we went out to dinner again. And finally, I felt like I just had to come clean. The shame of all the things I had not accomplished. I looked at my dad and I said, I am the poster child for unrealized potential. Haven't gone to college. Don't have a girlfriend. Don't have any money. I haven't done anything that I set out to do. I'm literally a country music song. I've lost everything. And I'll never forget, I was sitting on my couch and I was sitting in this old ratty chair that I had in this little nasty apartment. And I just said, I'm nothing, man. I don't know if I'll ever be anything. I got no money, I got no job, I got no friends, I got nothing. And I'll never forget, he looked at me and he said, yeah, but you're mine. And it was almost in that moment that 20 years of pain and of a desire to hear that I was had any kind of value in this world just got stripped off of my heart. And fathers, you need to do that for your sons and for your daughters. For sons, you need to accept and love and forgive your daddies. They didn't mean it. They're trying as hard as you are. But for some of you today, that the right step is to accept the love of your heavenly Father. That the first step in feeling that is, I need you to understand that your heavenly Father is looking down at you and saying, you are loved, you are accepted. Listen, I know that you've made mistakes. You've done stuff that you're not proud of. You've done stuff that you hope nobody ever finds out in the secret place. But I need you to understand, when I look down at you, I don't see all of those shortcomings. I don't see all of those things. What I see when I look at you is you're mine. And I died for you, and I'm trying to bring you home, and it's time to make the decision that today it's time to stop acting like a Christian. And it's time to be one. And you say, Daddy, I'm not going to do it on performance anymore. I just accept what you did. And so I'm not going to serve you to get your love. I'm going to serve because I've already got it. And in that place, I believe God can change you.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.